Hello and welcome to Odson World Cup. First video we do about the World Cup after the draw. We are with Dani Fisichella and Alvaro to analyze a bit the groups and see which kind of bets we can do before the World Cup starts in November. How are you, Dani? How are you, Alvaro?
Hello.
Very well, thank you.
Just about recover from the playoff, but yeah, I'm very excited about the World Cup. You know, when I was younger, it was like Christmas Day, the World Cup draw. But you know, I hope it's the same for you guys.
Well, now it's going to be November, so it's going to be Christmassy weather at least.
Yeah. Winning the World Cup can be like getting the best possible present from Santa, you know?
Yeah.
Nowadays. By the way, the World Cup is not in winter. The World Cup is not in winter. I want to say this before people keep on saying that. The World Cup is in autumn. Okay. I just wanted to point that out.
So guys, comment with us the draw. Don't forget to press the like and subscribe. And now let's go on with the show. But in November, Alvaro, is going to be cold already in the UK, for instance, not in Qatar, although they have AC in the stadium. So perhaps also you have to bring a jacket if you are lucky to go to the World Cup. We have to wait until November to check what is going to happen. But today, since the draw just has happened, guys, first impression, which one is the toughest group, the dead group, Dani?
Well, I don't think there is a group of death as such. You know, every World Cup, you always point the a group with two or three teams that are stronger, perhaps, than the four team in pot four. I would say pretty much balance. I think looking at it, probably group A and group C are the less strong. The one obviously where Qatar was the seeded team and got Ecuador, Senegal, and Netherlands, Argentina have a fairly easy group, I would say, with Mexico, Poland, and Saudi Arabia. If I have to point to probably the most balanced one, G and H, Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. By the way, Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland already played in the same group at the previous World Cup. Group H, Portugal, who qualified through the playoff, Ghana, who qualified unexpectedly, if you like, beating Nigeria, Uruguay, a bit of an aging team, and South Korea, though they topped the Asian group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I was looking at it, and I think that Group A presents a big difficulty, which is like, number one, you have to play against the home nation. And Qatar in Copa America 2019, they weren't ridiculously bad. They were playing Copa America because they got an invite for it. And then I think that Ecuador, Senegal, and Netherlands, as strange as it sounds, they are the three of them candidate for two positions. I think that obviously the Netherlands have a slightly better level than Senegal and Ecuador. But at the same time, Ecuador finished fourth in the South American group. Senegal is the African champions. And the Netherlands is a team that you can never rely fully on. In fact, they missed the last World Cup. So being first and second in this group is going to be pretty tough. And the same policy applies to me, to Group H, with Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea. There are not easy games in there. I think that Ghana is the weakest of all. Let's see if they manage to give a passport to Tariq Lamptey and perhaps to Callum Hudson-Odoi. If they do, that's going to make a difference for Ghana. But Portugal and Uruguay, they are very competitive. In fact, they played in World Cup 2018 and Uruguay won. And then South Korea is the Asian champion. So I think those two groups are the most tight ones.
Let's start group by group and you tell me which team do you think will qualify or win the group. We already have these markets, so you can already place your bets if you fancy them, although the World Cup is far away. Starting with group A, here we have Holland, the Netherlands, favorite to win the group. Odds 1.4 for them to win the group. To qualify, Holland or Netherlands 1.1. Then Senegal and Ecuador, both 1.8. And Qatar 6.0. Dani, Alvaro was saying that we have not to rule out Qatar. We know how the hosts are always very difficult to kick out. They have usually the help of the referees as well. Even Spain were kicked out, for instance, by Russia. because it's always tough to beat the host. Ecuador probably is could be a surprise in this World Cup, as we've seen in the CONMEBOL qualifiers.
Very physical team, Ecuador, very quick, very pacey, especially up front. They've got a very good generation of players coming through, perhaps not a full squad at the level of some of the best team, but, you know, to finish fourth in the Europe, in the South American qualifiers is not easy. So, yes, I think Ecuador could pose Netherlands some issues, and definitely they could pose Qatar some issues as well. The first game is going to be decisive probably for Qatar, because they play Ecuador. That's the first game of the World Cup on 21st of November. Yes, they weren't too bad in the Copa America, the last Copa America Qatar, but then they were drawn in the World Cup, in the Euro qualifiers group as well. Qatar, they done a few games against European teams, and they were pretty bad, I must say. So yes, Ecuador could be a dark horse on this one, but, you know, let's not forget Senegal, best team in Africa for the last 4 or 5 years, great goalkeeper, very good midfield, athletic team. Of course, they got Mane up front, and, you know, they came through the African qualifiers beating Egypt in the end in a very tight game, won a penalties. They won the Africa Cup of Nations of penalties as well. So I think for this one, yeah, even Senegal, you might fancy Senegal to win the group in this one. Why not?
Senegal to win the group, pace 5.5. Ecuador, a very young team as well, Álvaro.
Yes, and their biggest star is called Piero Incapié. It's a good defender from Bayer Leverkusen. He didn't cover himself in glory in the last week in the South American qualifiers, making a mistake. But I think that Ecuador, as Daniel said, is a very physical team. They've got the very pacey players. And I think that the only problem with Ecuador is that they were better in 2020 than they have been in 2021 than they have been so far in 2022. Maybe there is a little bit of a negative dynamic with the team. And I think that Senegal are booming right now. And the amount of confidence you get when you beat Egypt in the African Cup of Nations and then you beat them again is astonishing. So I think that for this group, I'm going to back Senegal to qualify. That pays 172, I believe. And yeah, I think that that is pretty interesting as well. It's very important as well to see how the calendar is like. I think that if you start having your first game and you win it, obviously, then you get 3 points after the first game. And that is a massive booster. So I think that it's going to be very important for them to start well. But I think that Senegal to qualify is a very interesting one here. I think that probably the Netherlands and Senegal are going to qualify. But the Netherlands qualifying offers a little bit of a very low odd. I would say 1.10 for the Netherlands to qualify. Maybe it's too optimistic with them, because I repeat again, the Netherlands are the kind of team that lately they've been offering great displays, very entertaining ones, but then they don't progress very far in competitions. The last time they were in, I would say, the last time they did very well in a World Cup was in 2010, because in 2014 I wasn't that surprised with their performance, and Argentina beat them and blah, blah, blah. But I think that, yeah, Senegal to qualify probably is the best value we can find in Group A.
Susan is saying Netherlands and Senegal, first and second. We have to see this new Netherlands with Louis van Gaal after missing the last World Cup in the UEFA, in the Euros. They weren't great, we have to say. So it's a completely new Netherlands. Our friend Thiago Carvalho from Portugal is saying Portugal-Spain the final. Well, I have to sign below to see that, hopefully, an Iberian final. Marco is also with us, Brazil-Argentina. That would be very, very exciting as well. Group B.
For that to happen, though, Marco, Brazil or Argentina don't have to win the group because they are on the same side of the draw.
Yes.
That will be already a surprise, I think.
Group B, then. This is interesting in geopolitics because we have England, Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine, USA, and Iran. Here, of course, England is the favorite to win the group, 1.3. But then to qualify, we have the other European team that we have to see still which team it is, with odds 2. And then USA 2.4, Iran 3.1. To qualify, Alvaro, perhaps it's not a bad idea to put the USA. They missed the last World Cup. They had some good players. Of course, Pulisic is the star. What do you expect about this group?
Look, I tell you what I expect. I think that England is going to get the 9 points, and I think that England is going to defeat heavily somebody at least once in this group, because I know what England is about. I know it so well. I know the whole script. I mean, they start the World Cup really strongly. Whenever they have a beatable rival in front of them, they beat them heavily because they've got plenty of fast players who can score goals from any position. They've got one of the best scorers in the world, like Harry Kane. And then when England will play a top opposition, they will definitely play in a different way. They will defend more. If they score the first goal, normally they don't go for the second. They don't know how to keep the advantage, and they change completely their approach. This is England. This has been England in World Cup 2018 and in Euro 2020. I mean, in World Cup 2018, they scored first against Croatia. They didn't know how to go for the second. In Euro 2020, they scored the first against Italy. They didn't know how to go for the second goal. And then Italy won the Euros. So I think that England is going to win this group very comfortably, and they are going to get the 9 points. And my bet here is that the United States are going to be the second to qualify in this group. I think that the United States, they've got not a terrific team, but they managed to qualify in the CONCACAF. And I believe that this is not as easy as it was before. The team is young. They've got some players over there that I really rate. One of them being Christian Pulisic, obviously. But the other one being Musa, Valencia player. And I think that the United States can be definitely the second team to go through in this group. And if the United States go through, that pays two. And I like that bet a lot. And I know that talking about top scorers is too presumptuous here. But normally the top scorer comes from the group stage. Yeah. A person who scores 4 goals in the group stage, let's say, more or less, a little bit like David Villa in 2010, normally end up being the top scorer of the competition. Well, I think that this group presents the opportunity for Harry Kane to be the World Cup top scorer.
Very easy group, Danny, for England and the other European team. They don't have a great pedigree, no? We have to wait, but Wales, Scotland or Ukraine, they could suffer against the USA.
Yeah, but I think what could put a span on the, you know, on the wheel of England if they have to play one of the home nation. You know, we saw at the Euros when they play Scotland and somehow the nerves got into them. You know, Wembley was packed. Everyone expected England to beat Scotland. Scotland had the better chances. They had a better game. They control somehow the game. Maybe they show Scotland in that game at Wembley the way to unlock the England midfield, controlling the ball. I remember Billy Gilmour had a massive game against them. Yes, you say, okay, he plays for Norwich, he's going to get relegated, but he's that kind of player, pass the ball, move the ball, that perhaps England didn't have in the key stages of the Euro 2021, and then other teams against them, Italy with Jorginho and Verratti, had them. So I'm not going to say, obviously, that Wales or Scotland are going to upset England here. But if you look at England maybe getting 9 points, playing a home side, playing a one of the home nation, could be changing the complexions there or thereabout. Remember also Euro 2016, England suffered a lot against Wales. This nation, when they do play against England, they tend to become, obviously, the game of their life. But let's see who gets there first, because, you know, obviously, we don't have to forget about Ukraine. Going back to Iran, okay, that's England's first game. Should be an easy win for England. I would imagine Iran probably will sit back and defend. USA, young team, as Alvaro said, not great in qualifiers for a bit. No. They were actually in contention to finish fourth. But, you know, it's a young team that can only improve. Players like Joreina as well, a really, really good prospect. So, you know, it could be an upset there for the USA to finish second. But yeah, obviously England strongly favorite. I mean, the records in qualifier is just amazing. So.
Well, England-Wales or England-Scotland, that could be the game of their lives for Scottish or Welsh people, for sure, to face England in the World Cup. England, huge favourites in this group B. In group C, we have Argentina, Poland, Mexico and Saudi Arabia. lucky draw, I would say, for Argentina, one of the biggest favorites for this World Cup. And then we have the odds to qualify here. Mexico 1.83 and Poland slightly favorites 1.73. Danny, probably this is the poorest Mexico in many, many years with Tata Martino. They had a very bad qualification in the CONCACAF. So I think it's fair enough to consider Poland perhaps slightly favorites ahead of Mexico to qualify.
I'm not sure, to be fair, because I'm not excited about Poland at all. I watched them last night against Sweden. I think they're a very drab team, very monodimensional. They haven't got much creativity in there as well. You know, they scored two goals because of two silly mistakes from the Swede. They haven't really impressed me in qualifiers as well. They got a new manager, which, by the way, only two games in charge. One was a friendly against Scotland. The second one is the ticket to the World Cup. I'm really, really not convinced what this Polish team could do. Yes, they got up-and-coming players. I think, you know, Matic Cash, Zurkowski plays here for Empoli as well. But, you know, otherwise, it's always the same old. And yes, of course, Lewandowski. But he hasn't done it in the major competitions as well, probably because the team around him is not as strong. So I think L3, Mexico, could have a chance. Yes, you're right. They're not as spectacular as they are. Actually, it's one thing as they could be. I think it's one of the teams that doesn't score much in the CONCACAF qualifiers. But El Tata Martino has built a team around a very, very solid defense. If you look at the results that Mexico has done in these qualifiers, they is the team that collected most points playing away from home. So, you know, it is a team that can set deep, defend. They got very quick, pacey defenders as well. So sometimes they can push the line a little bit higher. I see them slightly favored, actually, if the game was played today against Poland and Argentina. Well, this is a great chance for Argentina. Normally, they have tough groups in the World Cup, but this time, this is an easy group for Scaloni, for La Scaloneta. So let's see, because obviously, you know, good midfield, I think, for Argentina. Paredes, De Paul, and now they got people who can pass the ball into Messi and to the front three. Di Maria starting. Who's going to be the main man up top alongside Messi? Is it going to be Lautaro? Is it going to be Correa? We'll see. We'll see. I think that's what they probably have to decide. And at the back, yes, that's maybe the centre-back position where they do lack a little bit of experience. But Argentina, yes, of course, favourite to win the group. I put Mexico ahead of Poland this time.
This is the last dance for Leo Messi, for sure, in a World Cup. Argentina have a way better squad, way better coach, I think, that when they arrive to the final in Brazil. Álvaro, and one thing that Danny was saying is completely true also, that Poland is so disappointing in big tournaments. We always praise them because they have Lewandowski, but at the end, they never deliver in big tournaments, even in their Euros.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I can't stop remembering that they organized Euro 2012 all together with Ukraine. That seems so far ago, so long ago. And I believe that Poland didn't make it through the group stage. Ukraine did. Yeah. So they tend to crumble, yeah. Poland qualified, reached the World Cup semifinals once in their history. And one of the main issues with the Polish national team is that they don't have really creative players. And I think that this is a massive burden because supplying Lewandowski is one of the tasks, number one, that the Polish team should have, but they don't have good suppliers just to give him the ball. And I think that this is a problem. Moving ahead, this is going to cost them, of course. I'm not expecting anything in the World Cup from Poland, Mexico. I think that these two teams, if they make it to the last 16 round, they will be quickly eliminated. This is my take in here. I think that Argentina has a chance to go through and to, who knows, climb up the ladder. I don't think that Poland or Mexico are these teams right now, even though the Mexican team has improved defensively. And their last five games in the qualifiers, they didn't concede a single goal. And they played against Costa Rica, against Panama, against the United States, against Honduras, and against El Salvador. Well, you know, if you don't concede any goal in the last five games, you are doing something well. Tata Martino is a manager that probably is a little bit outdated if you compare him with the best managers in the world. I still remember what they say in Barcelona, that sometimes Xavi, Iniesta, Messi, they were telling Tata Martino, but are you sure you want to do this exercise, this training drill? Because they seem too outdated to those players. And that was back in 2014, 2013. But at the same time, he made a very solid team in World Cup 2010. Do you remember Paraguay? It was easy to beat for Spain, and Tata Martino was the manager. Probably one of the more difficult opponents Spain had in the run to win the World Cup was Paraguay. But again, I think that Mexico is not in their best moment. I think that Raúl Jiménez's injury a year and a half ago is costing a little bit Mexico too, because Raúl Jiménez is not exactly the same player he was in 2019. And generally speaking, they've got a little bit of a lack of quality. Let's see if Lozano is ready for the World Cup. Lozano, of course, is a player who can dribble past and make the difference as well. But generally speaking, I don't rate Poland that much. I don't rate Mexico that much. And I don't know how much I can trust on Saudi Arabia. Yes, they were top in the Group B in the Asian group. They qualified ahead of Japan and ahead of Australia. So, you know, that's a synonym of something good happening there. But at the same time, when they prove themselves against Mexico and Poland, I think they are going to show that they don't have the same level. So in this group, I think that Argentina is going to get the 9 points. I think that they will qualify. I'm going for that completely. And then if I have to choose between Mexico and Poland, I'm going to go for Mexico. It pays the same, really, 190 each, but I do believe that Mexico normally makes it to the last 16 round. It happens in every World Cup, So I don't see why it shouldn't happen here. Yeah, and then they go knocked out in the last 16 round as well. This is the problem.
Always they get knocked out in
and often by Argentina. I remember at least twice in the last 20 years. Yeah.
Here, Argentina and Poland is the options for Shushant. Very tough, the second of this group, Poland or Mexico probably, because in the next round they will face France. Most probably, Group D, we have France, Tunisia, Denmark, and Australia or United Arab Emirates or Peru. Actually, be careful with Peru. Be careful with Peru because this is a good team. And Álvaro, be careful also with Denmark. We have France to qualify pays nothing. Then Denmark, 1.44. If someone wants good odds, Denmark to top this group, odds are 4.0. And we know how good this team is and how competitive they are also in the Euros, despite the problem with Eriksen in the first game.
Yeah, and Christian Eriksen is going to be back. And this is brilliant. He's playing very good football for Brentford. And maybe right now he's playing with some precautions when it comes to, you know, maybe going for certain challenges. But at the same time, his technique is still there and his execution of the free kicks and the set pieces is still excellent. Denmark in the Euros show that they were very physical, that they attack a lot, they cross a lot the ball from the wings. That is something that surprised me a lot from this Danish team. And unfortunately for them, they don't have like a striker that you will say this is a top quality striker, because most of the crosses were looking for Martin Braithwaite. And Braithwaite, I think that he's a fine striker, but maybe he's not the best possible one a team like Denmark that is crossing the ball a lot can have. But yes, I think that in this group, I can see France being the favorite, of course. The French team got some confidence back after the elimination in Euro 2020 by winning the Nations League. And since then, they've been very good. I believe that the French Academy is always producing talent, and some of the new talent may be there, like for example Guiri, if he wants to play for France or not. I think that in defense they can field really strong physical center backs as well, which is brilliant. I'm not that convinced with the goalkeeper Hugo Llorente, especially because he's going to be a year older and he's already 34-35, but still I think that France is going to top this group. And if I have to go for a second, I cannot back Peru yet because they are not qualified for the World Cup, so I have to go for Denmark. And the money is not brilliant here. I don't think that Denmark is going to be first. The money for the qualifying will be 157, and I think that I could stick with that perfectly. I think that this is good enough. And I like the Danish team. I think that lately they have shown that they have a really good level, and not only they reach the semifinals in the Euros, but they qualify directly for the World Cup, something that, for example, Portugal or Italy couldn't make.
And they were brilliant.
You know, Yeah, they were brilliant. You know, top of Group F, 30 goals scored, 3 conceded in the World Cup qualifiers. Not a very difficult group with Scotland, Israel, Austria, Faroe, and Moldova. But, you know, they kept a clean sheet until the very last game, I remember. So, yeah, very good team, a team that, you know, it can be matched sometimes for intensity, for chances created, for crosses, for... I mean, I was impressed at the Euros. Every single action they did ended up either with a cross or with a shot. So they complete a lot of attacking phases, Denmark. I think they have to be feared. I don't think it's going to be an easy game for France. So when it comes to... I think Peru should do it, should make it. And, you know, Peru could give everyone a good game. But I think in this group, there is one of the weakest teams, which is Tunisia. Again, a team that struggled to score. I wasn't really impressed by them in the qualifiers. I wasn't really impressed by them in the Africa Cup of Nations. You know, they were eliminated at Burkina Faso. They lost 1-0. Okay, they beat Nigeria 1-0. Well, all the games of Tunisia, they end up, they almost seem to end up in 1-0. Tunisia Mali, 0-1. Tunisia-Mauritania, 4-0. Gambia-Tunisia, 1-0. Nigeria-Tunisia, 0-1. Burkina-Faso-Tunisia, 1-0. Mali-Tunisia in the playoff, 0-1. Tunisia-Mali, 0-0. So, you know, it's not a great spectacle, to be fair, to watch Tunisia. I remember 4 years ago in Russia, they were a pretty poor team. England win 2-1, but they should have beat them very, very comfortably. Yes, I think the value here is to for Denmark to group winner. I'm not sure, but, you know, France-Denmark, maybe a double chance when it comes. Why not? But, yeah, I think France-Denmark easily qualifies on this one.
The bookies also expect Peru to do something important, let's say, if they qualify. Odds for them to go through this group is 3.6 ahead of Tunisia, Australia, or United Arab Emirates. This one, 8, for instance, that they are going to play in the neighboring country, France and Denmark, for Sushant. It's going to be top and second. And thank you, TH Tube, for your message about good job. Let's go to Group E. This is Spain, Germany, Japan, and then Costa Rica or New Zealand. We have Spain favorite, actually, to top this group. I'm a bit surprised, to be honest. 1.83, then Germany, 2.2, Japan, 11, and then Costa Rica or New Zealand. We have to wait. Danny, what is the danger, let's say, for Germany and Spain? Both are huge favorites. In case of Japan, or I guess Costa Rica, they did a very good World Cup in Brazil, and they still have some players that they played that World Cup, like Brian Ruiz, like, of course, Keylor Navas, that was the hero in the CONCACAF qualifiers, but they struggle a lot even to go to this playoff.
I think the danger for Spain and Germany is they play two teams, Japan and probably Costa Rica, that are renowned for being very well organized. These are teams that normally don't concede many chances, especially Japan is a team that everyone knows what they're doing. What they lack, though, Japan, or they have been lacked recently, is goal scorers. They are not nation that tend to score a lot of goals. They don't have like poachers or big strikers that can be present in the box. So yes, I think for Germany and Spain, the other risk is whoever finishes second in this group probably is going to meet Belgium in the next round. So we're going to meet one of the favorites for the final win. Now, for Spain and Germany, considering how they are, I think they will take Belgium. You know, Belgium perhaps is not the most feared nation at the moment as a team, but probably it is a draw that you might want to avoid. Both teams are doing really, really well. Spain under Luis Enrique, I think, you know, clear mentality, clear system, sometimes perhaps too stubborn, but, you know, you need to trust the process with him, and players are improving as well. You know, I think they've done really well, for example, in the Nations League. They didn't deserve to lose the Nations League final. They beat Italy. They're doing well. Germany under Hansi Flick, they're doing better. I mean, we always know Germany are good in qualifiers. The problem with Germany, I think, perhaps, is that, again, who's going to be the man scoring the goals? You know, this is sometimes it is the beauty of nation football.
Not Timo Werner.
No, probably Theo Vermeer is going to be still Muller. I don't know. The problem is, you know, with nation football is that you cannot buy a 90 million striker.
Put closer, no?
But yeah, but you need to do what you have. You got Kai Havertz, you got Gnabry, you got Sané. I mean, you got a lot of false nine, if you like.
I think we are mentioning really good footballers, guys.
But yeah, but who's the
seriously?
Big but tournaments are won by big strikers. I still believe you need a top striker, and that's what Germany missed in Euro 2021. You know, against England, a lot of chances they couldn't convert them. But anyway, coming back to this, Spain, Germany, I think again they're gonna go through. Probably yes, the value is on Germany to win the group, if you like. But yeah, it will be decided on the head-to-head. I don't know which game is it actually. Is it the first game, the second game, Spain and Germany?
Spain faces Japan. It's the second game.
So in the second game, yeah, I mean, whoever wins, then the last game is a little bit itchy for them, a bit tricky. But yeah, I think they're both qualified.
Germany, they used to have players that deliver a lot in the World Cup. No, I was remembering now Klose, Podolski, and then in the clubs they were doing nothing pretty much. Susan is saying that Japan is being unlucky, Alvaro, because it's the best team in Asia. Do you think Japan can have an option in this group, or even Costa Rica? No, we remember Costa Rica topping the group in Brazil ahead of England, Uruguay, and Italy.
Yeah, that's true.
Or yeah, who knows? Who knows? We still don't know if Costa Rica is going to be there or New Zealand. So I could speculate a little bit about Costa Rica or New Zealand, but I think that these two don't have the quality right now to lay a glove against Spain and Germany. When it comes to Japan, of course, Japan is a team that not only is well organized, as Daniel said, but also they've got quality players to play the ball. This is the distinct style of Japan and what makes them a little bit different in Asia. The fact that they are tasty with the ball on their feet, but then they are lacking firepower up front. And this is something that has been costing Japan for a while now. Japan, by the way, they finished second to Saudi Arabia in the qualification to the World Cup. Just something there for us to see. And a good example of what I'm saying about their firepower is the fact that they scored only 12 goals in 10 games. I'm talking about Japan. Those are not great numbers. Australia finished third and they scored 15, for example. So there you go. A little bit an example of what Japan can be like. I mean, a tasty team, but a team that doesn't score many goals. Then when it comes to Germany and Spain, I think that they are the favorites for this group. And I think that both they are going to qualify. I know that Germany just made a massive mistake in the last World Cup, not qualifying, not making it through the group stage. And then in the last Euro, I still remember that run of Thomas Müller, 40 meters on his own against Jordan Pickford and sending the ball wide. I mean, any other striker would have scored that one, but Thomas Müller didn't. Why? Because Thomas Müller never has a chance like this playing for Bayern. I think that this is one of the things that made Thomas Müller miss that one. Thomas Müller is a striker that is like a jazz player. He improves everything here and there in small bits. But when he has the big chances and time to think about it, I don't think that he's the best striker. That was a chance for Timo Werner or for Kai Havertz, not for Thomas Müller. He didn't score it. England went through. We know the story. But what I want to say about Spain and Germany is that both teams, they have improved over the last 2 years. Germany has Hansi Flick. This is a manager that is maybe not the biggest theoretician. He's not the guy who makes it too complicated, but he's always getting the best of their players. And Germany has many good players in every position. I really believe that Germany does have that. And when it comes to Spain, look, from the statistica, if you check the statistics of Euro 2020, you will see that Spain was the best team in many aspects, in terms of attacking sequences, goals scored 13 in the competition, as many as Italy. Spain had a lot of possession. But I think that the problem with Spain is that the winnable games, they are difficult for them. And then when they play against a team like Italy, or against a team like Germany, or England, or whoever, they always show a very good level. Italy beat Spain in the Euros, but I remember Bonucci saying that he had never played against a team of that quality ever before. Or was it Chiellini, Daniele? I think it was Bonucci.
No, it was Bonucci. I mean, Italy were put to the sword by Spain. Yeah. You know, Spain had the ball all the time and they couldn't cope with the runs in behind the Italy defense. Spain were much, much better. And we saw it in the Nations League semi-final, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Spain gave a really good game to Italy.
Because we know how to dominate, but then we're struggling with the scoring. The truth is that Luis Enrique chose to play friendlies in March against Iceland and Albania because he wanted to find or he wanted to play against the type of opposition that he might find in the World Cup too. A smaller team, just putting plenty of defenders. And the good news is that Spain managed to put five against Iceland. This is easy for England, for example. This is easy for a team like Brazil. But it's not easy for a team like Spain. For whatever the reason, they are never capable of defeating heavily anybody. And the other day they did against Iceland. So I think that was good news. I think that Spain has a style. I think that Germany has improved under Flick. And I'm going to go easily for both teams to qualify here. I mean, I know the money is not brilliant there, but the reality is what it is. I mean, 183, 220 for them both to qualify. So why not?
I have to say that I'm very optimistic in this World Cup with Spain because they are a team. And it's very strange to see that in the national teams. And we have a great coach as Luis Enrique. Perhaps also Brazil and Argentina are the two other national teams that are playing really as a team. And we have to say also that the head-to-head between Spain and Germany is very beneficial to Spain in the last years.
6-0.
6-0 in Seville, but also in the World Cup. In the road to the title in South Africa, Spain beat Germany in the Euros. So overall, it's not bad at all, the head-to-head between Spain and Germany in favor of the Spanish team. España win the group. Well, this is Christian's opinion. Hopefully, this is going to happen. And then be careful because the game in the last 16 round, Spain or Germany probably, will face, this is a very open group in my opinion, be careful. We have Belgium, Croatia, Morocco and Canada to qualify. Belgium 1.1, Croatia 1.5, Morocco 2.4 and Canada 4.2. But Alvaro, someone is saying here, be careful because Canada will beat Belgium. We know how disappointing Belgium are in big tournaments. Canada, they have a good team. They are back in the World Cup doing really great in the qualifiers in the CONCACAF. And also Morocco, they were very good in the previous World Cup in Russia.
They were, Morocco, of course. They were very competitive. And
very close to qualify.
Yeah, of course. The thing is that then in the African Cup of Nations, Morocco, I thought that they were one of the big favorites back in February and they just didn't make it to the final. It's a real shame, but if you see the quality of their players, Morocco has plenty of good footballers. They've got a good goalkeeper like Bono, the goalkeeper of Sevilla. They've got up front in the city, Munir. Then I believe that, you know, they've got quality throughout and why, Hakimi is one of them, for example, as well. So why not to believe that Morocco can actually inflict some surprises and some heavy pain here and there. But in this group, I think that I am going to stay with the know-how of Croatia. Maybe not to qualify first, but maybe to qualify. And I know that in November, you know, a guy like Luka Modric, for example, he's going to be close to being 38. But still, I believe that Croatia lately, they have shown competitiveness. In fact, in Euro 2020, it wasn't easy to for Spain to beat them. And I remember that game had to go to the extra time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
Spain, crazy one.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was that evening in which Spain played against Croatia and then France played with Switzerland. And it was one of those glorious days of football. But here, look, I think that the value can be in Croatia qualifying first. That pays 325. Belgium qualifying first pays only 153. That's not brilliant. That's not brilliant. So Croatia qualifying first, I like that one here, 325. And as I said before, an honorary mention to Canada as well, because Canada is a team that managed to qualify for the World Cup for the first time in many years. But I think that this is it for them, really. I believe that Croatia, and especially Belgium, they do know how to qualify in the group. So I'm going to back the Europeans here.
There's a lot of hype around Canada. You know, topping the group in the CONCACAF is not easy. And, you know, a young team, exciting team, they play on the front foot. You know, so Jonathan David, obviously the star at Lille, but we'll see. You know, first time they participate in a World Cup since 1986. Back then, zero wins, zero goals scored. We'll see. But I think, you know, it's a physical team. It will be interesting also to see whether Alphonso Davies will actually play. You know, he's got a big injury to deal with. And I think a lot will depend from a little bit on Morocco. Second top scorers in the Africa qualifiers. They scored 25 goals in 5 games. You know, just to give you an example, Ghana only scored 7 in their group stage. Then in Africa Cup of Nations, they fell against Egypt in the quarterfinals. But, you know, good teams. And I think physical, athletical, Alvaro mentioned all the good players they have. Could they do a shock against Croatia? Croatia, I like them. They are organized, but they're a little bit of an aging team. I think they're getting a little bit old. Not only Modric, but, you know, players like Perisic as well, up front. Who they got? Have they got a big goal scorer? Not quite. You know, really very important players like Brozovic, etc. Just one thing we haven't mentioned about this World Cup. Because it's played in autumn, not winter, that means that all the big players, all the big stars are going to be fully fit because the season just started in August. So they're not going to be those injuries, that fatigue that sometimes big players carry at the end of the season. So when it comes, for example, to teams that have players who play in the Champions League week in and week out, and talking about national teams, they could benefit from it. So if you look at Belgium, we've got a lot of big players that play in England, for example, play in the Champions League. They might come to this tournament a little bit more rested, and maybe that could be the key for their success. But for this one, look, I like to go, there might be an upset in here, and Morocco could be the upset at the expenses of Croatia. So why not going for Morocco, not to win the group, 11 has too much, maybe to qualify.
Morocco to qualify 2.4, Croatia to top the group for Shushank. Tube is going for Canada. It's going to be fun to see this Belgium-Morocco because there are plenty of Moroccans living in Belgium, plenty, plenty. So it's almost a derby, I'm sure, in the streets of Brussels. Open to surprises, I think, this group. Then we have Group G, and this could be the toughest group. Brazil always have tough groups in the Euros because they mostly in the World Cup because most of the times they play with two European teams: Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon. Danny, Cameroon probably the poorest Cameroon in many, many years. They qualified with a goal in the very last minute with Toko Ekambi. But Switzerland is super competitive; they can give a headache to any single team, and Serbia, I'm sure our friend Thiago Carvalho remembers that. They can also upset many teams, although they usually qualify for the World Cup, not for the Euros, and they don't do a great job in the World Cup, usually.
No, no, and you know, this is a group very similar to 4 years ago. They met in the same group. Brazil won them. Serbia were defeated by Switzerland in the last minute. Look, Brazil are the favorites to win the World Cup for a reason, because they were amazing in the qualifiers under Tite, very solid. They don't concede a goal, and you know, it's a balance really. If once you got a midfielder of Fabinho and Casemiro, you can sustain up front Neymar, Vinicius, and someone else to play there. And you know, for Neymar, again, probably this could be last dance saloon, but this time he's going to be helped by good players up front, especially Vinicius, and you know, at the back, again, a defense, go Alisson, Marquinhos. It is a good team. And maybe in the fullback areas, Brazil is not as strong as he used to be, but obviously, I mean, I think even 144 winner is quite a lot. I think Brazil should be much more favorite than that. When it comes to Switzerland, organized, I know we Italians know it very well, perhaps not the most blessed Switzerland, but you know, it's a team that, again, players know what to do, they know how to do the job, they will be hard to break as well, and they got goal scorers up front, you know, someone like Mbolo, up and coming again, has been proving as good players in the Bundesliga. Will be tough for Cameroon to qualify on this one, because Serbia, they are unbeaten, if I'm not wrong, against the new manager, against Pixi Stojkovic. And they have got such a strength in depth, you know, up front. They got Tadic, they got Vlahovic, they got Mitrovic, you know, and also the back players like Milenkovic, Dragovic. It is a good team, I think. You know, I like it. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Vlahović probably finishing as an Italian top scorer. Can they do it? Is the nervousness things about Serbia, you know, the way they approach games sometimes, the over-aggressiveness, over-nervousness. But, you know, they could upset perhaps Switzerland this time. Serbia are a scoring team. Switzerland not as much. So, you know, maybe the value here is on Serbia to qualify, I would imagine.
2.2 Serbia to qualify, Switzerland 1.83 to qualify. Alvaro, we have Brazil as one of the biggest favorites to win the World Cup because they are really a team under Tite. Our friend Leo Bachanian knows. And apart from that, Switzerland or Serbia, in your opinion?
That's a tricky question. I'm going to stay with Switzerland because I saw them in the top stage in the biggest platform in Euro 2020 and they delivered and they were very good and they beat France. And they've got a few players here and there that really are fantastic, Mbolo being one of them. I think that the goalkeeper Sommer is a very decent goalkeeper as well. So they've got a serious team and I do know that Serbia has quality up front. Mitrovic... probably second to Dusan Vlahović, I would say. Milinkovic-Savic is excellent as well. Dusan Tadic is one of my favorite ever second-level players, I would say, because he is always showing some skills and some passes that are unthinkable. But I think that Switzerland, after what they did in Euro 2020, they have to come as slightly favorites over Serbia. So I'm going to stay with Switzerland to qualify. Which is good enough, not Switzerland to be first, because I believe that Brazil are going to be first. I've been commentating on Brazil during this CONMEBOL group stage. A few things. Brazil got 45 points. This is the best ever record of a South American team in the World Cup qualifier. 45 points. Brazil, the other day, won in Bolivia for the first time since 1985. So even if they had somewhere to win, left to win, because, you know, they had some sort of a bad duck against the team. They managed to win in La Paz the other day after 37 years. Brazil has never lost a World Cup qualifier at home. They still keep that record. And Brazil has changed their physiognomy dramatically over the last 20 years. I remember that in 2002, when they won the World Cup, they had an all-right goalkeeper. And they had the best fullbacks in the world, to the point that Roberto Carlos and Cafu, sometimes they were passing the ball to each other and they were separated by 50 meters. But they were so good that they could do that. This Brazil doesn't have good fullbacks, or at least, I'm going to correct that. They don't have attacking fullbacks. This Brazil relies a lot on the wingers. So basically, I've seen during Brazil games, Alexandro, Dani Alves, Danilo, passing the ball to Rafinha, or to Vinicius, or to Anthony, and just dissociating themselves from the play. Just they let them do whatever they want individually because the wingers of Brazil are phenomenal and they are, I could say that formidable. I mean, and there are four or five that they can make the difference. And if one of them is tired, another one will come up and Brazil will still make the difference from the wings. I'm going to name a few. Rafinha, Vinicius, Neymar Jr., Anthony. But if you don't have enough with those, you can call Neres, you can call Richarlison, or you can put Gabriel Jesus on the wing as well. What Brazil has on the wings is something unprecedented, the amount of quality they've got there. And then the center backs are fantastic with Militao, Thiago Silva, Marquinhos. You choose two out of three. And then the holding midfielders, Fabinho and Casemiro. And one more with a little bit of quality. Normally it's Lucas Paqueta, but it could be as well Bruno Guimaraes. Let's see who Tite decides to choose. No need to have a center forward. They have been using Gabigol, who plays in Brazilian football, and he's all right. They have been using there Gabriel Jesus, but he's not a proper number nine. I think that this is not a concern, not having a number nine. And Brazil is fantastic, and they have conceded only 5 goals in 18 CONMEBOL games. 5 goals only. So I think that they are the big favorites to win the World Cup, and I'm going to back them for that. It pays 5.5.
Agree completely. Shushant is going for Brazil and Switzerland. The Swiss, they have a good record in the World Cup. Also in the qualifiers, they switch manager. Remember that Petkovic is not anymore in charge. It's Jakin, a legend in the Swiss football, but they upset Italy, for instance, in the qualifiers. They know how to suffer. They know how to compete. So they could be a tough team to beat. And the last group is Group F and H, sorry, and we have Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, South Korea. The favorites to qualify is Portugal and Uruguay. Álvaro, but I guess it's not easy. I'm not sure if our friend Thiago Carvalho is happy with the draw, because Ghana and South Korea are one of these teams that can upset you in the World Cup, no? South Korea, of course, with Heung-min Son as their big star.
Yes, in my opinion, this is the toughest group. This is the toughest group, Edu, because Uruguay and Portugal, I think that they should go through on paper, right? But then maybe none of them are as dominant as Brazil are, for example. So there is not an overwhelming favorite here. And there is not a team that will cruise through with this. Portugal managed to qualify for the World Cup via playoff. And Uruguay, coming into March, so basically a week ago, they still didn't or were not qualified for the World Cup, but they won their last two games and they did qualify for World Cup 2022. I think that this group is complicated for all of them. I really do. I think that Ghana maybe is the weakest right now, and I don't want to be disrespectful to them, but I think that this is one of the weakest Ghana teams I've seen in a few years. And as I say that in the intro, they will probably try to get a Ghanaian passport for players like Tariq Lamptey or Callum Hudson-Odoi as well, so they can strengthen their squad. But what they did in Nigeria, eliminating Nigeria in Nigeria, is pretty impressive as well. And that is like a derby for them. So Ghana managed to do it. Congratulations to them. They are in the World Cup. But this is not the team that qualified for the World Cup quarterfinals in 2010. No way. No way. Not at all. They are not. Luis they Suarez. Are nowhere. Yeah.
The Suarez day. Yeah. As Susan is reminding us.
Yeah, exactly. They are nowhere near that level. Then South Korea. Of course, the first name that comes to us is Heung-min Son. They qualified second in the Asian group. Iran was first. And then, here, I'm going to back Uruguay to be first in this group. That pays three. And I think that under Diego Alonso, the manager, they have improved. They have to sack Tavares after a disappointing 2021.
After 56 years in charge.
After two centuries in charge, they sacked Tavares and they appointed Diego Alonso, and Uruguay hasn't lost with Diego Alonso. The good thing for Uruguay is that there is an acknowledgement that Cavani and Suarez are getting older, but also Diego Alonso is creating the perfect landscape and the perfect conditions for some other young players to sign more. For example, Fede Valverde is one of them. He has improved a lot under Diego Alonso, because he was never too good for Uruguay, and lately he's been phenomenal. Bentancur is playing very well for Uruguay as well. Jordián de Arrascaeta, a player who plays in the Brazilian league, has been the catalyst sometimes for Uruguay, and they've won games thanks to his quality. And then Ronald Araujo and Jiménez, they are two top defenders. I think that Uruguay can also be very happy with having Jiménez and Ronald Araujo in their squad. So I'm going to back them to be first, just because the money is good, but this doesn't mean that I don't trust Portugal. This doesn't mean that, because I think that Portugal has the firepower and the danger in them to inflict pain to anybody, anytime. But the thing with Portugal is that they can start slowly, or they can look quick, and suddenly they feel like they have a good day and they beat anybody in any scenario. But for this group stage, since the money is in Uruguay to qualify first, I'm going to go for that.
I think with Portugal, if they play with a little bit more courage and they go forward a little bit more, you know, if Fernando Santos unleashed them a little bit more, this is a very dangerous team. If you look, you know, at the names they got, Bruno Fernandes, obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo, they combined for the two goals against North Macedonia, but obviously, Bernardo Silva, Rafael Leao, João Félix, Gonzalo Guedes, Cancelo. Jota, it is a good team, a good goalkeeper as well in Rui Patricio or Fernando Sá, if you like. So, you know, it is good. Probably a bit of issues at the centre-back position if Ruben Dias should be fit. I mean, he's injured now, but no reason why he shouldn't be at the World Cup. Again, it is about Portugal, the confidence and playing with a little bit more of panache, if you like. But, you know, they do struggle against very organised teams. I see them struggling against Republic of Ireland at home. I see them struggling against Serbia, and considering on the counter-attack, Uruguay are going to wait and sit deep. The problem with Uruguay is that they got a few veterans. Do they still need them? Do they still need Diego Godin, for example, at the back? I don't know. But can they find someone a little bit more reliable than Godin? And then, you know, when you play up front with Cavani and Suarez, you're not going to get a lot of pressing. You're not going to get a lot of... yes, Alvaro.
No, that's the thing, that's the funny thing, that this is a proper dilemma for the manager, because he knows how good Cavani and Suarez are. But Darwin Núñez is scoring a lot of goals in Portugal. So one of the big questions is that if Suarez and Cavani will play together, but Suarez and Cavani didn't play together in the qualifiers the other day in March. They didn't play together against Peru, and they didn't play together against, let me think,
Chile.
Against Chile. Yeah.
So I think, because I think you can't sustain them really at that level. But you go always the weapon in the bench. You know, Ghana and South Korea, very different team. I think South Korea organized. You know, Asian teams always very well drilled tactically. They know what they're doing. Ghana, not a great scoring team. They only scored 7 in the qualifiers, and then yes, the win away in Nigeria, which was a bit of a shock to the system. But yeah, not a great Ghana team, if you like. Yeah, I think the money are on Uruguay to top the group as well. I think you think it could be a good bet, but it's Portugal to qualify as well. I think it's pretty sure.
South Korea with all the defense called named Kim, actually, the 4 players that played against.
That's very easy for the commentator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kim, no matter if you don't know who has the ball, it's going to be Kim. And Mills is saying something very cool. It's true that we are not going to have awesome kids in this World Cup because Nigeria is not there. Going to kick them out with a J1 company. So let's see what this Portugal, one of the biggest favorites for winning also the trophy, the last dance also for Cristiano Ronaldo, can do. The last thing I want to ask you guys, because we've done almost 1 hour, for Álvaro, is Brazil the favorite to win the World Cup? For Dani?
I think Brazil as well. Well, normally people say when the World Cup is in Europe, it's a European team who wins it. Where is somewhere else, it is a South American team who wins it. This time is a, you know, it's a bit of a hybrid because, you know, it's in Asia and it's not in summer. I think Brazil, you know, the balance, Fabinho and Casemiro, that smells. Like,
well, Spain won the last World Cup not played in summer.
That's
right?
True.
It was
That's
played
true.
In South Africa in winter time for them. And the dark horse for you two guys, last question.
Tricky. Portugal.
Denmark. I would say Denmark.
Okay, guys, Sushant is going for France to win the World Cup. In my opinion, they have the best squad in this World Cup and the best player for sure, Kylian Mbappé. Matsol is asking us for the Premier League. We have the video already in our channel, so check it out because we did it earlier today. Guys, thank you as always. We will analyze all the games, hopefully, for the World Cup. Enjoy the weekend and remember to leave your comments about the World Cup. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend.
Edu. Speak soon.